Ask the Podcast Coach for May 24th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It is Saturday morning, and it is time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcasting questions answered live. I guess that makes me the podcast coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And you'll notice we got three faces in the box this week. Things are going crazy. We have now 30% more guests than your regularly scheduled episode. Joining me as always is Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how are you?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you.
And that's the way it works. But the other person, the lovely and talented person we have on the show today, graciously is going to peel back the curtain, is Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com. Ryan, how are you this morning?
Oh, I am awake out here on the West Coast. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you guys, both you, Jim, and both you, Dave. Excited and really, I think it's going to be great to kind of show you guys this theme a little bit.
On one hand, I was thinking about this. I'm like, you know, for an audio show, this is going to be really boring. But then I told Jim, I go, but I really want to see it. And I'm like, so we will try to, somewhat audibly describe what we're looking at as opposed to just going, ooh, you know, that's not really going to be very
Dave, will you make the video available on YouTube? Do you have a YouTube channel that will? Yep. So folks could flip over. You'll leave that link in the show notes.
Absolutely. It'll still be there. And what I'll probably do is I'll just listen to the audio. And if it's really just extremely visually needed, I'll just say, I'll cut that part out. But like we just said, hey, it's, you know, go to the show notes. And that would be askthepodcastcoach.com/28. We'll take you there. And so, you know what? Let's just jump into that. And what we're talking about, just so you know, this is at getnoticedtheme.com. This is Michael Hyatt's new theme. It just came out, I believe, this week or last week. And I have yet to see a website that's using this that looks poor. I mean, every time I see it, I'm like, wow. In fact, if you go to Ryan's website, foodcraftsman.com, he's using it. And he just started using it. And I was like, your website didn't look bad before, but man, it looks really good now. And the only thing that I was like, ooh, was, and this is the big question, is right now, the cheapest it is $197. That's for one website, one license. You get 6 months of basic support, which means a response in 3 business days or less. No forum access, 6 months of updates, online documentation, and a money-back guarantee. The next version up is $247. Kind of the same thing, 12 months of standard support, 2 business days for a reply. Anybody else thinking that's a little slow, even for, is it way out of line for me to think 24 hours on a reply? I mean, even if you're in the Philippines, 24 hours, it's like, okay, maybe that's just me. You do get access to the forums. You get updates for a year. You get online documentation and customization tutorials and FAQs, which are coming soon. And of course, the money back guarantee. If you want to go crazy, and again, that's just for one site. If you go $347, you can put it on 3 personal sites and pretty much everything else we just mentioned. So I'm going to go ahead and put Ryan in the box here, who is sharing a screen.
Dave, I do find it interesting that it's called Business Builder, and yet it says for use up onto 3 personal sites.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little mixed. I know they're kind of working on, and this was $1.97, right? Is that what?
I think that's it.
$1.97. Not really. $197.
Buy one, get one free, maybe?
Yeah. BOGO. It is. There is a little mixed messaging in their layout with what they're calling this versus what it is. One of the things I was going to mention as we talked about their pricing is that for business applications, they're actually inexpensive for what is focused towards a small business or enterprise, you know, a larger medium or large enterprise. You know, the price points change a little bit when we start talking about business support and what a full-fledged business would expect versus what a personal site would be. So I think they've got the business pricing right, but they're aimed at personal, you know, they're aimed at the individual podcaster. They're aimed at the individual contributor to this. And so there's a little mixed messaging here. I think they still need to kind of work this thing out to, I definitely think as we work through it, the pricing's okay. I mean, it's still a little steep for a WordPress plugin, but depending on what it does. But boy, you can't call it Business Builder and then say it's allowed for personal, you know, personal use only, or at least the way they stated that there. So I think there's a little bit of work to do on the branding.
It is a full 90 days. So you get 3 months to kick the tires on this thing. And if you're really not happy, you can say, I don't think so. So we'll kick it back to Ryan, who's already dialed in here, which is kind of cool. And Ryan, what was your initial, like when you first started using it, what was your first impression?
The first impression was, you know, they're calling it a premium theme. And I think for the market that Michael Hyatt goes after, he knows his audience really, really, really well.
Yep.
Through all of his surveying and contact that he creates with his audience. He knows his audience really, really well. He also knows that the majority of his audience has a little expendable income to kind of do these sort of things. I'm not one of those. I'm definitely not one of those. But I went ahead and when I first purchased this, I went and got, they just changed the pricing again only after a week. And I think they did that to kind of create the urgency of get in now and,
sure,
you know, this price point. And they actually added a level in their pricing structure, which I thought was interesting in itself. When I first downloaded it, I put it on another site. So I bought, because I bought the 3-pack,
okay,
the original 3-pack, because it was only $100 more and I got 2 more licenses with it. So I was like, what the heck? I'll just go ahead and do that. So, and I put it on a site that that gets very little traffic and I don't worry about very much. And so I could tinker with it and kind of see how it looked. And I think this actually, the price is a little high, but because of the standard set, and you know, if you go to Theme Forest or something like that, and you're going to buy a $50 theme or even a $70 theme, I think where the difference is this product is really, really beautiful right out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's just a step above maybe a premium theme, and I kind of tagged it last week when we were chatting as a super premium theme. Because I think it kind of bridges the gap in between buying, you know, a nice Theme Forest theme, or I don't know the other theme sites. So excuse me for not mentioning anybody else out there.
Right.
But I think it bridges the gap between buying one of those between $50 and $70 or even $100 and getting a customized site built. So if you're looking for something that's going to be really, really well put together and has a lot of customizable options and a lot of things kind of baked right into the product, it's really not that costly.
Yeah, especially if it gives you all the tools. One of the things that's always a hassle with web design is you know, trying to tell somebody what you see in your head. And mm-hmm. if it gives you the tools to just do it and you don't have to wait for, you know, Harry to do the update and then he does it wrong and you got to explain it again. If you just got the right tools and you don't have to learn a bunch of coding, then you're good to go. So, so cool. So what are some of the features here that are, that make it the super jumbo deluxe theme?
Well, I think, what's really great about it is, if you're looking at, if you're joining us via video, which is going to be good, on the right hand side, you're going to see just kind of what my home page looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that is very limited right now, and I don't know if I just haven't found the way to change this, is the format is going to be the same. It's going to be the content on the left and then the sidebar on the right. And that's really the main way that this works. There's no way to put the sidebar on the right or anything like that. But there are a lot of other features depending on the type of post that you create. So I've got on the left-hand side of the screen here, just kind of the back end of the mm-hmm. Get Noticed theme. And I would walk you through the dashboard, but it shows all my licensing numbers and stuff.
Got it.
So the dashboard, actually, let me pull that up. I've got a screenshot where I kind of blurred that out. So we can start there. This is the theme settings. And what's really cool about it is there is a lot of customization within the framework that you're given. So all of the colors everything that you see on the screen is very adjustable. So all of the links hover, you know, when you hover over them, you can change the color. The link that you're on, you can set that color. And then stylistically, you can change everything from your author byline, the way it looks, whether or not you want a drop cap in on your, you know, first entry into a paragraph. Placement of feature images throughout the post automatically can show up in several different spots, as you can see. And then you can also create, you know, comments policy. So there's a couple of those that are, you know, really nice and really make it so you can have the feel of your own.
Right. Because that's to me, that's one of the things I used to love about Thesis is you could go in and on one hand, yeah, there were a ton of options. So that was kind of the bad news is, but the good news is once you figured out which ones you wanted, like switching out the header for some themes is still a hassle. It's like, wait a minute, yeah. why is there no like click upload header save kind of option? And, so yeah, I'm glad to see that. And then I see on the left-hand side, it looks like you have like a bazillion different post types. Is that kind of like one of the things that really sets it apart?
Yeah, I think that it's really helpful. What is strange about that is it segments your entries into different areas. So we can kind of walk through that. Here is a landing page on the Food Craftsman. If you look in the right hand side of the page, and this is one of those ones where you're basically, you want them to stay on the page and you want your readers to walk through and actually sign up for your email list. So what's great about his landing pages is on the right here, I can actually get rid of anything on the right and just have a full size landing page. And if you notice at the top bar, I've removed all of the menu items, et cetera. So it looks as though, you know, it kind of forces the focus in on the content that's on the page and your email signup list. So that's one of them. I also will go back over here. And as I scroll down, this is the books. You can read right here. It says The Art of Nonconformity. This is their books post. And what's really great about this is if I click in to the title, it actually takes you right to the Amazon page.
Oh, cool.
And you can set it. You can set the theme, the Get Notice theme, to accept your Amazon affiliate ID directly into the site.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways to post. But so, for instance, if I just wanted to write a regular post, I would go into the posts category on the back end of my WordPress here. But all of the other types, which include announcement, audio, books, events, links, I can show you a links post, which is really a lot of them look really basic. You know, they have the same format. They just have maybe a little different icon in the upper left-hand corner of the post. And they're meant to be mini posts, all of these ones on the bottom.
Right.
So they're basically a way for you to, you know, put content out a little more regularly or categorize or highlight what it is that you want people to see on a regular basis. So you can do a tweet post, which is you can highlight someone's tweet that you really liked and you can bring it in and you just copy and paste it in. So they're smaller posts and they make it really, really easy to share is part of that.
Now, does that one on platform, does that come built into the theme?
No, ironically, I had this one.
I figured it didn't. That'd be hilarious. And it comes with one post already in it.
Exactly.
Because that's Michael's book. And if you haven't read that book, that's one of those that I think I have. I have certain books I read once a year, and that's definitely one. Mm-hmm. You can also get that as an audio book.
That's the one book that when people come to me and say, you know, I've noticed that you've been working online and kind of create your own online world, I either recommend it to them or I'll just go out and get them a copy. But if you're going to buy it on your own, I'd recommend getting the Kindle version because all of the tools and links on the inside, a lot of them have direct links to the tools that he recommends.
Yeah,
pretty savvy.
It's actually one that I have both the Kindle and the audiobook, and I like the audiobook, but about halfway through the audiobook, I quit liking the audiobook because I was listening to it in the car, and it's really something you want to read where you can take notes. Because it was constantly like, ooh, I got to write that down. And I'm like, well, I can't. I'm in the middle of, you know, I-77. It's not going to work.
Yeah. So if we're looking at back here in the back end of WordPress, it integrates all of your social media directly into it too. I think one of the big things for me that I'm liking the most about this is the fact that I've turned off probably and I've deactivated and deleted probably 90% of the plugins that I had in WordPress, and it runs really, really smooth now, and I'm still getting the same functionality. So Google Authorship runs really well through it. All of your social media plugins that you had in before work really well. So if I only have a couple plugins. I have 5 plugins now, which before I think I had maybe 10 or 15 plugins that were, I just totally gave you the wrong ratio if I only had 15. I had quite a few plugins that kind of would perform these functions that come built in. And so it's really, really nice.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So connecting with your social media is really, really easy with it. Everything from Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram, Pinterest, and StumbleUpon. And all of those things can be, number one, if you create a link in a post that, or excuse me, a tweet post, it'll automatically can update into your Twitter. And then it also shows up in, those icons show up in the menu bar if you choose to have them up there. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jim, what are your thoughts at this point?
Ryan, do you get the feel that, if, by the way, this is laid out, if someone is looking at your site or anybody else's site that's using this theme, it's pretty obvious that it's, this is a Hyatt theme type deal. Or is it that customizable that you could make it look really, really different from somebody else's?
Well, I think you get the sense that this is very much a Hyatt theme on my site because I haven't customized it quite so much. If we take a look, the cool thing is he's got some examples set up of other people that are using his site. There's that Hyatt-esque look to them all. We have this one called, I pulled up Jake and Chad, and it seems like, you know, you can tell it's a Michael Hyatt theme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very similar. But I also think what's happened in here too is that it's so clean and so well put together that you, when you start looking at the different colors, that's why I was saying before, you can't change the format of the framing of a page, you know, shifts things from left to right, et cetera. Just the minor changes. So I would say, yeah, if we get a lot of people using this theme, we're going to see, definitely he's using Get Noticed or she's using Get Noticed. So,
yeah, I'm popping up some examples here and they all kind of have, you know, again, they all look really good. And you can see I'm at Sarah Beckman, you know, and she's really changed the background color. She has kind of a green and brown theme going on where
the banners all look the same. You know, they've all got that cross and then the V on the ends, you know, that, well, this one doesn't. So they took that one off. Okay. Interesting. I do like the mix of media in here and that it looks like it's, you know, and I kind of do this manually today on my own site where I mix a audio player and a video player and a variety of things together kind of in the post to make that post kind of self-contained. Ryan, did you spend any time looking at this thing on your phone? Is it responsive? I assume there's responsive design and it adapts if you go
What's
to it on your...
What's interesting is I opened up my phone and I opened it up on the iPad and the iPhone and I've started freaking out. I said, this looks horrible. Absolutely horrible. And so I went to back into the back end there on WordPress. And I had something from WordPress that was some sort of mobile optimizer turned on that I hadn't seen previously. And as soon as I went back and reloaded the page, it is really, really mobile friendly. It's beautiful on mobile. And I'm wondering if I shrink this screen down just in the web browser, if it will react to it.
Yeah.
There it goes.
That's wild.
There it goes. Okay.
So, yeah, and it's got, you know, a pop-out menu there. And this is basically what it would look like. So it is responsive, and actually you can take a look on, if you get it, you can take a look on your own, you know, just web browser on your desktop and shrink it down and kind of get a feel for what it looks like.
Are you still running PowerPress with it then? Is it for your stats?
And so for anybody who is using PowerPress and switches to this theme, you have to go back through, especially if you're using the short codes, you have to go back through and re-enter a short code in the position that you want the PowerPress short code to show up. I fortunately don't have a ton of podcasts on there. I only had, 30 posts that had podcasts. And so it wasn't too hard to go through and just copy and paste in the PowerPress short code. It didn't take away anything from the files that you had embedded in the post from using the PowerPress. So it was just a matter of repositioning where I wanted it to show up. And it shows up really nice. Let me see if we can...
I was going to say, if you don't do that, what does your site look like? For those of us that have 408 episodes that we don't feel like going.
Sure. Well, quite frankly, what it looks like is it just doesn't show the player button. Mm. Ooh.
Okay.
It didn't show the player button. Now, I don't know if that's because I had all the short codes in there and I didn't go through and just check whether or not having that file in the post that you create where you put in the file and you verify it. I don't know if it would have shown up otherwise, just because my experience was I had already had it done. But the PowerPress player looks very similar. I got that, looks exactly like it would in any other theme. So it doesn't change that very much. It's, I think it's really, overall, I'm really happy with it. I would love to be able to go through and customize some things even more. Although I'm really working hard on trying to make everything look really nice and clean and simple. So when I get in and start playing, I tend to muck it up and really overdo it.
Well, I know on their website here, they're saying that there's a survey feature. Does that so you can actually do a survey and the results are all right there within your website? Or is this something where it ties into like Poll Daddy?
It ties into Poll Daddy and I think Survey Monkey.
Okay.
So...
I was just going to say, because you can do that without the... I think in some cases, they're not recreating the wheel. They're just making the wheel a little easier.
I think that's really what it comes down to. So if you've got a lot of things, a lot of plugins that you're really, really happy with already, I'll show you. Well, let's bring up an example of what the survey would look like. And this is from Michael Hyatt's blog. I think that's one of the nice things that comes along with it too, as he's like, this is how I utilize it. And for somebody who's built up a lot of trust with their community and obviously is having some major success, I ran out and bought the theme.
Right.
I think it's really great that he's showing how this is built. So the surveys show up as a mini post, just like the other ones do. And you can probably create them as long or as short as you want in regards to, whatever it is you have available in SurveyMonkey and Poll Daddy.
Right.
So it says, right here, created in SurveyMonkey or Poll Daddy. You will need to create the survey itself using one of those tools. If I were to open this up, you have to put in your SurveyMonkey ID or Poll Daddy short code.
Yeah, that's
in order, and it will just plop it in there.
Yeah, because there's actually a Poll Daddy plugin that you can use. That's what I use for my polls and stuff like that. In fact, I just threw one in the chat room. We're going to be talking about this later, about global stats. How important are global stats to you? So we'll be talking about that a little later. But
And so, you know, they've released this product, and it's actually on version 1.1 already. They've already released an update for it to kind of clean up some minor bugs, which which for, you know, $197 or $297, you would think a lot of these would be, well, I wouldn't even say that a lot. There wasn't a lot to begin with, but they had a couple bugs that they rolled out. And I also think the release had a lot to do with them adding the third tier of pricing in as well. But they've got, they're building a tutorial library. And so that'll come in handy, I think, for people who have very little experience.
Right. But to get that, you have to buy the professional version, not the semi-pro. So for $50, you're getting tutorials.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I cry BS on that, in my opinion. I'm like, that's
Dave, it's whatever the market will handle.
Well, I see that here. Well, I take that back here. It says online documentation on that. So because
I think the big thing is the different length of time that you can have in the support forums and the chat forums, et cetera.
Yeah, there's no forums for the
Well, with this being 1.1, and they're still working out how to do all this stuff. I think if you buy now, you are considered an early adopter.
Yeah,
I mean, and you better be ready for change. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's one of those things. If you want to set it and forget it, if you want to buy it, set it up and let it go. If you're thinking right now that there'll be, you know, buy it, no changes. I don't know if I would be an early adopter if that's the way you're approaching things. If you're willing to work with them, if you're willing to, you know, go roll with the changes, then I think, and you want to get in, you're kind of that adventurous, I don't mind if my software doesn't necessarily work or I don't completely understand it, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, kind of guy or gal, then I think you should jump in. But definitely these are the early days.
I hope there are some good updates to it, because I would like to see the opportunity to maybe, not that this, I would do this with my site, but move the sidebar to the left-hand side or, you know, but you can put in, there's three different menu positions. There's the category buttons, which you can see kind of. The category buttons appear right above the post. And then you have your main navigation up top, and then there's a footer navigation, which is great. A lot of flexibility, though. One of the things that's actually interesting is there is some of their own widgets built in. And none of them that are really reinventing the wheel, but doing a really good job with what they do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I think one of the greatest ones, I think one of the ones that I like using for this is the display books feature.
That looks cool.
Which shows up in the sidebar. And I have it set up so it hopefully will show different ones each time. I don't know if it'll do it on this one. Yeah. So it just went from, so whenever you release a books post, and I guess I should share my screen again with you guys so you can see it. So whenever you create a books post, it actually will generate that and put it in the sidebar as well. So you can randomly.
Oh, cool. So it's not always the same book.
Yeah. And again, that goes to that goes up back to your Amazon.
I'm waving at myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got
careful. You could create a black hole.
I did that earlier, so you can see the books rotate through. So I mean, I think if you're on the fence, I'd wait a little while. If you're in the market to spend $300 on a theme, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I can see where, you know, again, it makes great looking websites. It is going to be interesting to see, because I can spot a thesis theme, you know. Yeah. But on the other hand, do I sit there and go, oh, this is a thesis theme? Well, I am out of here. I never, you know. But on the other hand, I'm always amazed at people like, yeah, how much did you spend to have your website made? It looks good. Oh, we hired somebody. Really? How much did that cost you? $2,000. And I'm like, really? Wow. People are, you know. So on that aspect, $300 is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, that's why I said I think it really does just bridge the gap. And, you know, you get a clean, functional with a lot of little neat opportunities to put stuff in for $300 or $350, I guess what the new one is. But, you know, it's a, I think if you're in the market for something that's clean, functional, works really well, I would go with this. Because I, again, I don't go to the websites like you. I can see that, oh, these websites are running a Michael Hyatt theme, but I don't go there and not look at what their content is because of it.
Well, and especially if I'm trying to get a sponsor, you know, the sponsor may listen to the show, but they also, when they go to your website, they want to see something that looks good. And that may be another motive of that. So, hey, we should, Ryan, can you, are you going to stick around, buddy?
Yeah, I can stick around if you'd like.
Awesome, cool. Because we'll go ahead and fire up the phone lines. That number is, as always, 845-262-2401. And wow, the minute I say it, the phone rings. How cool is that? So let me make sure the phone is unmuted. There's the lovely hold music. Oh, that's not good. If I click on talk, because I've started the show. This is, the joys of live. So ending in 6224, in theory, you should be on the line.
Let's start this over.
Let's see. Yes, ending in 6224, because I don't hear music anymore. No, we still hear music. Well, that's interesting. That's really interesting, because I've all right, well, I'm going to...
Soothing. That's soothing music.
It is soothing. All right.
I'm going to play the piano.
Jim... How do you feel about, we'll go, I'm going to end the show here. So we'll get to hear what Colin Studio does.
We are sorry, but the show has ended. Ended.
Yeah, no, it hasn't.
Goodbye.
So I am going to.
Why would they be sorry? What you selected to end the show. Why are they sorry that you ended the show? I don't know why they say that.
It's really weird that, you know, it did that because everybody that heard the pre-show. Heard me dial in and all that other fun stuff.
No, I heard you get it. I heard you get it done.
It's like, well, what the heck, kids? So I'm going to dial back in. Here's a question. I feel like, remember when they did Coffee Talk on Saturday Night Live? Mm-hmm. Talk amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. There's a new kind of thing going on where you can buy iTunes reviews. And, I think it's kind of interesting in the fact I do have to listen
to this. You for calling Colin Studios.
I do have to do that.
Enter your 6-digit PIN number.
Yes, of course. And I just, to me, I've heard people say, well, it is kind of shady, but if it works, you know, it's just business. And I was like,
Now in the host
room. Well, there is a saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're building a, community and you're building it around a podcaster, you're using podcasting as part of that community, and you're dishonest enough to go buy reviews, I think the people who listen to you, I think those things always find you out, right? Karma always comes back. Mm-hmm. It's one of those kinds of things that, yeah. I mean, yes, you can. And can you blow out? I mean, can you do, and I like to call it the dig model, right? Where those guys blew out a podcast and were thousands, hundreds of thousands maybe of listeners. And then they just exploded in a big gigantic fireball. And there were some things there where you just kind of questioned. So I don't know. There's gotta be some integrity amongst the podcaster too. So I know we have a caller.
I'm buying podcast reviews every day. I'm buying podcast reviews by putting in that work and putting out good quality content.
Correct.
That's how I'm paying for them. You know, I don't think the real question I think that comes to mind when we talk about buying podcast reviews in iTunes is what does that really benefit you for? Because nobody really understands anything that happens in iTunes and how they rank. So does it, I mean, unless somebody out there has that information, what does it really do for you? So why would I spend my money on it?
That's the whole thing. It helps you get in new and noteworthy. And when you get new and noteworthy, then it's just next week till you're on, you know, Jimmy Fallon. I think that's what they think.
Well, hey, Jimmy did not call me when I was in new and noteworthy.
No, see, I missed my call as well. The interesting thing, we did lose a caller, but we've called them back and Colin Studio has successfully called them back. So ending in 6620, what's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave, this is Gary Leland.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, I didn't know that could call me back.
It does. I'm sorry that it dropped you, but I was like, because I gave them the symbol that we have a caller, and then as soon as I did that, I was like, and then we don't. So I'm glad you're back. How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going good. It's going good. You were talking about the Get Noticed theme is why I called.
What are your thoughts?
And well, I have it on two sites now, and I like it a lot. It's real easy to use. I mean, you know, once you figure out anything, it's easy to use. The only thing I don't like about it is on header one and header two, which are the top two bars of buttons, you can't show subcategories. It won't. I'm used to my buttons there when I hover over them having drop downs. That's the only thing I don't like about it is.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd it destroys the purpose of subcategories if the subcategories don't show up. There is a widget you can use, but it's not near as attractive or helpful.
Yeah, that was something for me that I needed to get used to too, and then had to go through and actually identify how I wanted that to show up in a different format. I actually had to pull all my subcategories out and reclassify them in a new menu in order to have them come on.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of that myself, and I liked it the way I had it set up. You know, I've got like five different, you know, Dave knows I've got five different kinds of video shows. They're like five different television shows would be, and I could have them all under videos. And you drop down and find the show you were interested in. Now, I mean, for the amount of things I got, I really can't make that many buttons.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know.
But that's the only thing that I found negative. I didn't want to be the guy brought negative, but I thought that was a very big negative to me that I've learned to live with because there's so many positives.
Yeah, I don't think that's truly a negative, but I do think it's an area where they can kind of have that flexibility because even though, you know, this is based on what he uses on his site, it's not necessarily what everybody would want. And I think to have that option would be, you know, I think they could easily make it look nice. So maybe they'll build that in.
I was told when I was asked that Michael doesn't use them, so that's why it doesn't have it.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
How that would make sense.
Yeah, so, but I felt like you're just opening up and selling it to everybody. Maybe you know, had that option for people who want it.
Gary, I think there's some thoughts on the mobile design where this drop-down idea is so cumbersome on a mobile device that more and more people are trying to move away from it and use other kinds of prompts to get the user to click. Just because the PC experience is one thing, right? That works great on a PC with a mouse, but you know, there is no hover over on a, you know, or even a click drop down feature like that on mobile, and the responsive design crunches it down anyways. So, you know, I think designers are starting to think through what are other ways to invoke that subcategory experience without it being a hover over or a click to drop down.
No, in that sense, it makes sense. Yeah, I could see where that would make it would be easier for that.
Man. So overall,
and I guess maybe it does make sense. Yeah.
So overall, Gary, you'd say thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, thumbs up. I have it on two already, and
yeah,
now they've come. I bought the two when you bought them individually. Now they have the developer, so I think I'm entitled to a free one because I've already paid for three. So I'll probably add it to a third one next week. So I give it a big thumbs up, personally. I like the layout. I like the quotes system in there. I like a lot of the tools. A lot of the things that you go and add plugins for are already in there, it seems like to me.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, what's one of the sites you have it on?
Fastbitch.tv. I'll beat him to it.
So. Yeah, this is really weird. I'm going to have to turn my computer off. I'm watching you, but you're not keeping up with your words on the phone.
Yeah, there's going to be
really
a delay.
Bothering me.
Yeah.
That's really bothering me. You were talking when I was going, he's not saying anything.
It's like a
that's all I wanted to put in. I'll let y'all get back to the show. I just wanted that because I thought that really bothered me and I had to change some things for that. And I still haven't adjusted everything as to how I would like to have it done because of that. So I'll let y'all get back to the show. Dave, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
Enjoy your show.
Take care, man.
Okay. Y'all have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Barbara in the chat room. Barbara, if you'd like to call on in, the number is 845-262-2401. Says, please talk about using an iPad for mobile interviews. So we need a smidge more information on that. I mean, a great app to record on is there's Boss Jock Studio lets you create and do everything on an iPad or an iPhone. If you just want to do recording, you know, there's Auphonic has an app. There's just a sound recorder app, I think, on the phone, things like that. The fun part is going to be if you're doing interviews, how do I plug multiple microphones into the iPad? And that's where things get tricky. And, you know, that's where you can, like right now I'm using an iRig to take some of the information out of the sound out of my mixer and throw it into, in this case, my phone, which could have been easily an iPad. So, if you can give us a little more info, or if you want to call in, we would more than be happy to talk
Dave,
about
it. Dave, I've found on the road, like, you know, we've had this question a lot before about mobile, you know, mobile devices, and especially the computing devices that we take, either an iPad or some kind of tablet. And, you know, I like to do video on the road, and I just don't think either any of those mobile devices are great to try and get really good video. I mean, you really do need kind of a big boy PC with you or a Mac with you that can handle all that video processing. And there's, I do these conference interviews, and in this year, in the last couple I've done, I didn't take them seriously, and I didn't take good lighting, and some of those, you know, I didn't work it like I wanted to with the sound. This last one I did, I kind of took it seriously and I did all that, and they turned out really, really well. Now there's some, every time I do it, I learn some things about how to do mobile in a conference space or whatever, but you, that is something you probably want to think about, a MacBook Air or a, you know, or a Core i3 or 5 if you're on the PC side, of having some equipment, even when you're on the road, taking some serious equipment with you to get that done. Because there's, yes, you can do it, but it's severely underpowered. I mean, I can drive from New York to San Francisco in a smart car, right? I can do that. But do you want to? Right? That's the question. So,
well,
you know,
what about audio? I think she might be, that's where I was hoping she was going to give us some.
Yeah, if it's audio only, I mean, that's a different, audio does not take a lot of processing to get done in a lot of cases. And I actually have a guy working right now on a post for me. He has a Dell Venue 8. It's a Windows 8 device that's, you know, it's a little 8-inch tablet running Windows Pro, which is the full version of Windows, and it only has a mini USB jack on it, and I have him getting an attachment so he can plug a ATR2100 into it and see if he can get the audio off that. That'd be a great combo. That's a $250, you know, tablet you could take with you and have all the tools that you would get in Windows.
Yeah, I have the camera kit that allows me to plug the 2100 into an iPad. And that's fine for one mic. I guess you could always do the Bob Barker, right, and do this thing where you move the mic back and forth between people and just try.
Well, on the Windows tablet, if it's running Windows, it'll recognize a USB device like a mixer.
Ah.
So you can get that same setting and plug your USB mixer. An Alesis Multimix 4 would work great, and the USB version of that would work great for something like that. So.
And then if you don't have,
I haven't tested that, by the way. don't quote me on that. I haven't actually done that.
Well, and again, if you don't have a USB, then you just use an iRig device. That's what I'm doing in this case to get it into the iOS device. Then you just listen through that device. That's how we're getting the phone call, actually. So very interesting. So Barbara, if you want to call in, that's great.
She says she's having trouble on Skype. It's giving her an invalid phone number.
Oh, actually, she's here. She's,
oh, good.
I believe. Forget that. Somebody ending in 1643. So is this Barbara?
Hello, is this me?
That is you.
Okay, great.
And the only thing
I was trying to call on my.
The only thing we're going to ask is if you can turn your speakers down now, because I'm hearing you listening to the show.
You shouldn't. I have my computer muted.
Okay. Well, then it's just technology. Anyway, what's going on? So fill us in on what you're trying to do.
Okay, so I'm going to a conference. And originally, I was looking at buying a Zoom recorder, but I know the new Zoom 5s are coming out, so I don't want to buy the H4N, and I don't really need an H6.
Right.
So I'm thinking about using the iPad, and I've been reading that I could get it's a little Samsung that I could do a bidirectional recording. But it wasn't really, it's like then from there, you just upload it to iTunes, and I don't want to do that because I use Libsyn. Anyway, I'm just wondering if that's a good alternative rather than using a recorder.
Well, the recorder, like a Zoom, even an H2 is going to have kind of that built-in stereo separation, which in some cases is cool because it adds ambience. You could always mix it down to mono, where if you, you know, anytime you use a condenser microphone, you're going to get a lot of background noise depending on where you're at, and especially if you're doing a convention someplace, there's a lot of background noise, which sometimes, again, adds to the ambiance. Jim, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. That'll work, but I would test it a couple times to see if that's what you want to do. How much are the H4Ns now?
I don't even recall. I've been looking at so many different things.
Yeah, I think they're $300.
Yeah, and I use, you know, an alternative to that, just as a side note, Barbara. An alternative, of course, Tascam also makes some really nice, mobile recording devices as well. Those start at $99, so that's a kind of a cheaper option if you want to go that way, and you get some of the same functions as those H4Ns. But you absolutely can do it if you can get the better the microphone quality on that iPad. I don't have one either, so I don't mess with that, so I couldn't tell you. But if that works, if you can get it working, you get good audio. Yeah, use that. Why not?
Yeah. The Zoom H4Ns right now are running for about $229 to $300, depending on the accessories that go along with it. But Barbara, one of the great things that you can do too is if you're involved in any of the podcasting communities, whether it's on Google Plus or even Dave Jackson's private Facebook podcasting group, check and see if anybody's got one for sale.
Yeah, there's this lovely thing called eBay that's, wow, you can save a lot of cash sometimes doing that as well. Because, I mean, the mixer I'm using right now, I got off of eBay. And it saved me probably $100. So,
Barbara, does that help at all?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a website we could plug while we're at it?
Well, my new podcast is sageclinician.com.
Sageclinician.com. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep, take care.
I mean, Zoom does make a microphone that plugs into the new iPhones and iPads. I don't know the quality on it. I would love to check that out at some point.
Yeah, that's interesting. I did not know that. Boy, I tell you what, they keep coming out with new stuff and more new stuff. It's like,
well, you can tell the market is moving in that arena because they, for a long time those recorders really kind of sat stale. They didn't innovate a lot. And then I think as we've and Dave, you talk about this all the time of recording your podcast directly into it off your board or whatever you're doing. As the popularity of that concept has arisen, we're seeing more. More iterations to those devices, and they're getting fairly fancy with them, and the price points come down a little bit. So I love to take my I have a Tascam 07, which was 3 years old now, and that's actually changed twice in model since then. But I take it, put a little foam cover on the top, and I just record directly into it. Now you're right; those are condenser mics, and so in a convention, man, I pick up a lot of space, or a lot of noise around me. But that's what I want. I want that feel. I want that. Hey, we're live on the grounds at Open World 2013. Kind of thing. So I like that. It does have a direct input that you can plug a mic into it if you want. And you could do it that way. It's just a conventional mic, a mic jack, as opposed to it would be great if that had some USB capabilities as well. But you got to do some other, you need more powerful software to run USB devices. So, and there's the ones that plug the mic in. I mean, the ATR, let's not forget the ATR 2100 has a XLR out. And so some of those, is the 4N have that XLR in? Is that the one that has the two XLR ins on the bottom?
Yep.
And you can plug it straight in.
There you go. That's actually, that's one of the biggest advantages of the 4N is you can kind of record from pretty much anything, whether it's a XLR mic, you can plug from a line in, a mic in, it's all sorts of cool stuff. So I did have a question, and I looked down, I'm like, wow, we're closing in on an hour that I wanted to throw at you. I threw this in the chat room because I'm doing this week's episode is going to be, because everybody's really getting involved with SoundCloud. SoundCloud is the second coming, and I'm like, really? So in some cases, media hosts, once you start to scale back, okay, they can't do this, they can't do that. In some cases, it comes down to, okay, level playing field, it's down to stats. And in some cases, like Podbean, their stats are just there's no way to describe it besides the word sucks. They're awful. And that you can't, well, I shouldn't say that. Unless you want to pay $60 a month, their stats are awful. And so my question is, how important is it knowing where your podcaster, where your audience is coming from in terms of what country? And, you know, can you get by? Do you really care about anything besides the download number? I guess if I were to spit out that question more succinctly. Or do I care just about numbers? Or do I want to know that 30% are coming from, you know, a Mac and 14 are on a Macintosh and 27 are on an iPad? And, you know, do we care about those numbers?
I think Ryan might care more about them than I do. Just, I think we're all different, right? I mean, that's it. Yeah. And I've quit kind of checking my numbers. I don't look at regions anymore for the most part. Every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, I wonder how many we have from Australia, you know, or something like that. So I'm to that point now. I don't care too much about it. It's nice to get kind of a big round number, but I'm more interested in engagement in my community. I mean, I track engagement for me is how many are in my Facebook group and how many are actually talking, and emails that I get back from my listeners or voicemails that I get from my listeners. That's my measure of engagement, because downloads, especially if you've had a podcast that's been around a while, you might have a whole bunch of people who set that up and then are never listening to it, right? That downloads to their phone, but they never get to it. So I've just kind of changed the philosophy from the numbers are all right, but what really changes the equation is who's interacting with me, you know, who's using my Amazon affiliate link, right? That's a perfect measure of engagement, because it actually had something. They had to do something to get there. So, Ryan?
I think you're absolutely right in terms of, you know, I think it depends on the person that you're talking to. I don't particularly care who or what they're using to get the content. But what I will say is I do like to know sometimes where the majority are coming from. I can tell you just from past experience with my Food Craftsman podcast, a lot of the listens come from the Northern California area, which is really great to know that, because then I can actually reach out to them and maybe we can go to an event together or something, you know, like that. For me, it might come into play in that, but generally I would say no.
Well, and if marketing matters, Ryan, I think you and I were chatting about this. If marketing matters to you, if you're doing this for a business, then you better be looking at your numbers, because you don't know how to market to your audience if you're doing it. I'm not doing it as a business, right? And so I don't spend that extra marketing time that I normally would. If this was my job, man, I would be all about the numbers, Dave. I mean, that's because that's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, I can see if I was a comedian, I'd want to know where they were so I could think about saying, hey, you know, my last month I had whatever X amount of downloads.
Because that's their business.
Right. Because what I'm talking about, let me go ahead and share my screen here real quick. With most, like here I'm just looking at Libsyn. And I think if you don't have the $20 a month plan, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get numbers. Basically, you know, how much was each episode downloaded? But somewhere in here, if I go to geography and technology and some of these other things, you can see where the actual people are coming from. Here we go, top countries. It's thinking about it. And again, yeah, so here I can see, you know, the United States followed by China, which is somewhat shocking, Canada, Australia. You know, so I can see on the world map, you know, come on, you know, parts of Africa. What the heck? No internet out in the middle of you know, that. And then I can also go to, I think it's technology, and I can see what they used to.
John Parker says in chat, this is really the important stat, which is what are people using to access
your iTunes, in my case, Zune. Right. I have a lot of people using Zune apparently.
What?
Let me. And I have it on my YouTube. I went over these with Rob Walsh.
That's an Xbox player. Zune is, I think,
so,
Xbox.
So, you know, Shift, Jelly, Pocket Cast, you know, all these things. And my question was how, like, John, why is that important to you?
Yeah.
Well, I would think for your platform, right? So if you're getting a lot of views on, I can't think of a great example, but say there's one particular medium where you're getting a lot of views and you're not doing a very good job of getting that information there or portraying it on your website that way or whatever, it allows you to know where to put the most effort for the most viewers that are listening. Or,
right.
you know, I mentioned to you before, Dave, all of a sudden my iHeartRadio numbers have jumped and they're now twice my Spreaker numbers. And I'm like, okay, what's going on in iHeartRadio? And before I just ignored iHeartRadio. It was just an evangelistic platform, a place that you just have to be anyways, I think, through Spreaker. But now I'm like, okay, maybe I should pay attention to what's going on over there. Can I do more of the same things? Can I figure out what's going right? And then can I facilitate that to do more of the same thing? Yeah.
You know what's fun about video? I'm going to say something. I know this is primarily an audio show. If Ryan and I lean just the right way, we can look like we're conjoined twins. It's kind of, there we go.
Oh, I can, yeah. It depends on what order the...
Awesome. Well, Ryan, thank you so much, buddy, for peeling back the curtain on that. I'm still on the fence. I'm like, okay. I see the pros and cons. I know Mike Howard says he uses a theme called, I think it's Avada, A-V-A-D-A. If you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/AVADA, I actually do have an affiliate link to that. And that's a theme I've bought. I've never used. I keep – it's one of those things. As soon as I get some free time –
Be careful when you load it. I will say that. I've used it. Be careful when you load it.
Why is that?
It will load a lot of extraneous stuff in unless you know exactly what you're doing.
Interesting. I will have to check
it. I'm still finding bits and pieces of it.
Really? Well, that's not cool. Mm-hmm. I know the people behind it are, you know, internet marketers because they just send me an email every day about, hey, you can make $1,000. But I'm like, okay. And on one hand,
there's not anything malicious in there. It's just really weird features that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I'm, to me, I'm like, I want to know if there's any updates. But on the other hand, can you please not tell me, you know, how this guy used video to, you know, and now he lives in a mansion and okay, got it. You know, that whole nine yards. So it's always kind of fun when you get on those kind of lists. But I thank you for coming on the show.
I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much for sitting through it and kind of seeing what was what.
Yeah,
and it's always good to talk to you and Jen.
And everybody find Ryan over at foodcraftsman.com. And just obviously it's about food. What can people expect when they go over there? What do you got on your website there?
Well, my podcast is interviews with business owners, and we talk to them. They're usually smaller, handcrafted food business owners. So the people kind of who create the wonderful products that you eat. And then it's really for them to kind of, for me to understand why they got started and how they got started. And on the website, we talk a little bit more about how to build your branding and get you noticed and get noticed in different ways through building communities and online marketing.
Very cool. And everything we talked about today, because we did do some things with some video, you can find it at askthepodcastcoach.com/28. And Jim, as always, buddy, glad to have you around.
Good to be with you on a Saturday morning, as always, Dave.
And you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And we're here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can either go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live or askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We are considering moving the chat to Chatwing, but I need to think about this. Right now it's working, so I don't think I'm going to do that. When I thought about that today. We've got a cool thing going on, and as they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So thanks, everybody, as always, and we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.